Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin on the Capital Ideas Podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's most experienced active investment managers. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Capital Client Group, Inc.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Children with special needs often need round-the-clock care. Some of that is provided by schools and respite care. But when they turn 18, a lot of that disappears overnight. Parents are suddenly expected to be able to provide that 24-hour care. And we're going to be asking, we are asking, should there be more support once somebody turns 18? I'm joined on the line by two parents to talk about their situation with their respective sons. Aisling McNiff, I'm going to talk to you in a second, Aisling. But first, I want to talk to Independent Senator Tom Clonan, who joins me on the line. Tom, good afternoon and welcome to News Talk.
Good afternoon, Adrian.
Tom, tell me about your 22-year-old son, Owen.
So basically, Owen is 22. When he was 18 months old, he just showed symptoms of what we now know is a neuromuscular disease. So this is a one in a million just chance of a point mutation in a gene sequence, and he is a wheelchair user. He's partially sighted. He's in Dublin Business School. He's gone into his final year there. But his care needs, while they're simple, they're profound. So basically, I dress Owen every day, toilet him, feed him, and he's 22. And you know, this is the reality of our life. And you know, it's so for him to live an independent, full life, he needs 24-hour care supports. And Ireland is the only country in the European Union where we don't, where disabled citizens like my son and Jack, Ashley's son, don't have the legal right to these kind of supports. And as a consequence, then many disabled citizens, you know, they have to live at home with elderly parents. I'm pushing 60. And, you know, like, really, we don't know what the future is for Owen when he graduates from college. You know, what supports are there? And so it leads to a situation where we've got thousands and thousands of citizens like Owen and Jack all over Ireland who live with elderly parents. I was contacted last month by a lady who is in her late 80s. She's a cancer survivor, and she uses a rollator. And she's actually caring for her daughter, who's in her 50s, who's a wheelchair user, and she has to lift her in and out of bed. Imagine, in her late 80s.
Unbelievable, yeah. For people who may not know, explain to me the difference then with the care that is available for children up to the age of 18 and what actually gets lost when that person becomes an adult.
Well, look, I'm sorry to say this, and I'm sorry to sound negative, but Ireland is one of the worst countries in the European Union. It's actually the worst country in the European Union to have a disability. So even for children who have services of a sort, like we have tens of thousands of children on waiting lists for assessments of need. We've hundreds of children, as you know, in September now, who don't have a school place because they have additional needs, because they might be neurodiverse, and they're at home with parents. Even though children do have some supports, they're in failure, they're in crisis. I mean, Paul Reid, the former CEO of the HSE, told me on the record in Leinster House that it was, you know, children's network support teams in the community were in failure. But such as they are, even though we are in crisis in that regard, once the child turns 18, you're on your own, pal. It's handed over entirely to the parents. And it is only in some very, very exceptional circumstances where people at that stage get some supports. And again, it's because we're 30 years behind any other European Union country, including England, Scotland and Wales and Northern Ireland. You know, we don't have that legislation to give our children these rights. And even in the United States, you know, with the land of Trump and everything like that, the Americans with Disabilities Act gives disabled citizens far more rights than they have here. And that's the reason why, you know, it's just that we don't have a fundamental human rights approach to disability in Ireland. It's based on an outdated, anachronistic charity model. And what it does to people like me and Aisling, who you're going to speak to now, is that as parents and adults, like we can't, you've got this constant fear and worry and anxiety about what's going to happen to your adult son or daughter when you die. Mm. And like that lady in her 80s who contacted me, you know, she's terrified, you know. And the
What does happen?
Well, what happens is that when elderly parents die, then you have a disabled adult who goes into complete crisis, and they either end up homeless. One in four of our homeless citizens are disabled, or they very often end up being just warehoused in a nursing home. And in the greater Dublin area, as we speak, there are about 1,800 disabled adults, young disabled adults, who are inappropriately placed in nursing homes because there's no accommodation for them. There's no 24-hour care package for them so that they can go out and live independent, fulfilled lives. And I often think of Owen, look at my beautiful young man. If I die and I'm sorry to use this formula of words, but he ends up in a nursing home, mm-hmm. like who'll care for him? Who'll dress him? Will he end up in a nappy within, you know?
And that's an awful thought to have to go through a parent's mind.
And I know people don't like when they hear that kind of language, but that is the reality.
Okay, Tom, do me a favour. Stay with me for a moment. I want to go to Aisling McNiff. And Aisling, your son Jack is 19, and you said recently that disabled teenagers lose everything from the state once they turn 18. So what has changed in Jack's life now that he is 19?
Well, it's what happens to an 18-year-old with an intellectual disability or autism is that they're expected to navigate adult services. So, for example, my son lost his respite with Laura Lynn, where he was for 10 years. So on the date of his birthday, he lost Laura Lynn, so he had no respite. Now, we have now established a new respite near us, but in a year, he only got one set of overnights in respite. And like, I have very little home nursing, and so respite is vital. I'm a lone parent carer, as many carers are. My son Jack, you know, he requires 24-hour care. He has Down syndrome and he has a rare autoinflammatory disease. He has severe to profound ID. He's nonverbal. He's heart disease, chronic lung disease, mild scoliosis, hip dysplasia, severe arthritis. He suffers from chronic pain. He has asthma, mild sleep apnea. He has a peg in situ and he's Jedge fed around the clock. He's a wheelchair user and, you know, he needs me for everything.
And bar the odd bit of respite, which is now a rarity, it all falls to you to care for him.
Well, basically, there's this ridiculous nonsense about when they're 18 that they're cured, like, you know. But like, everything needs to be seamless and nothing changes. In fact, the truth is that things get harder because, as Tom was saying, he's pushing 60, I'm 51. You know, I've had back surgery and that's what happens with carers. Because we can't get to look after ourselves, we end up hurting ourselves. But the fear is always, what if something really happens? I mean, it has happened to me where I've hurt myself or I've been ill. I had COVID and Jack had to go for emergency care to Laura Lynn, which he was still in at the time. So twice he had to go for crisis care. But in the meantime, if you had no respite and he had to go to crisis care, that would probably be in hospital or in a nursing home. And when he was 18, because I had no respite for him, I was offered by the HSE a nursing home as an alternative to an appropriate placement for respite. So this isn't just pie in the sky stuff. This is happening. And young people, that was when he was 18. Imagine sending an 18-year-old child to a nursing home for respite. Like, it doesn't work. And I know 80-year-olds who are caring for their children, their adult children, waiting for residential care places, and they're not turning up, you know. And then what happens is, if the parents die, as Tom was saying, it's crisis, and many of them are just ending up in nursing homes. And you know, it's terrifying for us.
Really is. I have to say,
terrifying.
Listening to your stories and listening, one thing that will stick with me, Tom, if I can just go back to you, is the fact that one quarter of homeless people in Ireland are people with disabilities. That really shocks me for all of the reasons that you've outlined. But a listener asked me to ask you, Tom, what the difference would be if there were a legal right to services. What would it not just clog up the courts, because there are no services, there is no capacity, so even if you had a legal right to it, it's still not there?
It would absolutely transform the landscape. It would bring us into line with the rest of the European Union. And, you know, Taoiseach Simon Harris said on appointment that he was going to fully ratify all protocols of the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. I'd call on him to do that. I introduced a piece of legislation, the Disability Rights Bill, in 2023. And remarkably, for a senator, you know, an independent senator, I've gotten it through all the stages, and I'll be asking the Taoiseach to support that, and that will transform things. Also, it would hand autonomy over to disabled citizens, the legislation that I've drawn up, because it would hand over the budget, personalised budgets and autonomy to disabled citizens and their families to actually drive and control these. It would take the power away from the HSE, who are, you know, completely, as stated to me by Paul Reid, they're completely incompetent.
Well,
we'll watch this space, Tom.
A
fundamental human rights issue of our age. It's a scandal.
All right, Tom Clonan, independent senator, and Aisling McNiff. Thank you both of you for joining us on the program and telling us your stories.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan, weekdays at midday on News Talk.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin on the Capital Ideas Podcast. In unscripted conversations with investment professionals, you'll hear real stories about successes and lessons learned, informed by decades of experience. It's your look inside one of the world's most experienced active investment managers. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by Capital Client Group, Inc.